Welcome to the jungle. We start our second hour. It is a three-hour program. Every Monday through Friday, it is live. We are in Southern California. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour, it's a busy hour. I've got Alex Anzalone of the Saints, linebacker for the Saints, coming up in about 20 minutes. After that, Adrian Amos of the Green Bay Packers. So back-to-back NFL interviews in this hour. Third hour is wide open. Episode 149 of the Jim Rome podcast is tomorrow. I have not yet taped that. Edgerrin James, the legend, Edge, Hall of Famer, Edgerrin James, played his ball at the U, is going to be joining me. So look for that tomorrow. We will push that out after the program. In the meantime, let me set you up with a telephone number. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter or go to my Instagram feed, as I mentioned yesterday. Put up some pics of the fam last couple of days on my Instagram feed. Look for that at Jim Rome. And our email is back, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I want to finish my thoughts on the Cowboys in a second, but quickly some reaction to start hour number two. Dear Jaime, who still uses Tabasco? War Valentina. Steven S.A. Look who's here, man. The former champ, Lef in Laguna. Defending, actually, right now. Quote, I also put Tabasco on eyes. I like a little spice when I'm eating them. Thanks, Jeff D. Damn, Lef. You could do so much better than a Jeff D. blast. SoCal Jeff, I want to put hot sauce in my ears every time Matt in L.A. calls. Better have some handy today because you know that call is coming. That's pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to start anything. But Tabasco is ass. It really is. I mean, is that not bottom shelf? The most boring hot sauce you could ever pick? I mean, is it even, in fact, hot sauce? I mean, why not just hit it with some ketchup? Ketchup is spicier. Ketchup is hotter. Like, I don't get it at all. It's like red water. Hey, can you throw a little red dye in some water and put it in a bottle and slap a Tabasco label on it? I mean, I don't even feel strongly about stuff like that. I really do not feel strongly about stuff like that, although I do love Cholula. But I'm not one of those guys who hits it with everything. I mean, I'll hit my eggs with some Cholula, maybe some Mexican food, but I don't feel like super strongly about it. Like, I'm not putting Cholula in applesauce and stuff like that or on a banana. But we're talking about the D coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys in the middle of a Zoom call having to stop because he got Tabasco in his eyes.
I got something in my eye.
It's a good thing it was only Tabasco. What if it had been Cholula or Tapatio or Frank's Red Hot or anything that matters? Anyway, just to finish that thought, back to McCarthy. Like, it reminds me of a story. When I was a kid, I was at a camp once, and I got into it with this other kid, this older kid, and we got into it, and this kid... It's an unbelievable story, actually. This kid took a $20 bill, and we were kind of just talking junk to each other. He was an older kid. He takes his $20 bill out of his pocket. He rolls it up and jabs me right in the face with it. And that's like a reason to go, right? Add that to our list of reasons to go. Somebody spits in your face, you go. Somebody rolls up a $20 bill and jabs you in the face, you go. The owner of the camp comes running over. He separates us, and he looks at this kid, and he goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? And the kid's like, nothing, nothing. And then the owner of the camp looks at this kid. I'll never forget it. I mean, I might have been seven. The owner of the camp looks at the kid and goes, hey, what if that had been a $50 bill? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, man, what if that had been a $50 bill? Like, what kind of argument is that from an adult? Hey, man, that was a $20 bill you jammed that kid in the face with. What if that had been a $50 bill? Yeah, man. Yeah, stoner. What if that had been a $50 bill? Hey, Mike, What if that had been Cholula? Actually, it would have hurt a hell of a lot more, trust me. There's no spice in Tabasco. Which brings me back to Big Mac, Mike McCarthy, who probably puts it on everything that enters his pie hole, right? If you think that Jerry Jones is making a change at head coach after hearing bells and jumping in a foxhole a few months back, man, you are wrong. You are wrong. You really think they're going to fire this guy right now? Yeah, wrong. Because his kid, Stephen Jones, said that's not happening.
I know we've got the right head guy for the job, and, you know, it's a work in progress. These things just take time. I know our fans are frustrated. We certainly understand the criticism that's coming our way, that's going to come our way, that's come our way. And we understand that, but we've got to go to work. First year with this group, you know, Jerry and I are big believers in sticking with the staff. We just got to give them their opportunity to work with these guys and continue to implement what they're trying to get accomplished.
Hey, listen, when your team is 2-5 and you've been humiliated in back-to-back weeks and you play in the worst division in the history of that league, I'm really not sure what you're seeing that would tell you that you know you have the right head coach in that position, the right guy for the job. In fact, I would think that all the evidence would indicate that you've got the wrong head guy for that job. Like, I know you fellas, Steva and Jarrah, you're about as stubborn as anybody can be, and that the next mistake that you admit to making is going to be your first. But it would appear that you made a pretty big mistake here. And the fact that the defensive coordinator is giving himself a hot eye is not making that decision look any better or smarter. And you better throw some milk on that eye, Mike. But do it in private. Because if you do it around anybody else, like your boss, like if you take that milk to put in your eye to take off some of the edge, if Big Mac sees it, he's only going to throw some strawberry quick into it and drink it himself before it hits your cornea. And bells and foxholes and circumcisions aside, coach him up, fellas. Coach him the hell up, or you'll all be back in that football laboratory, which is actually a barn in Wisconsin, trying to figure out who you can con next into hiring y'all. Coach him up, man. Coach him up, and don't let the head man see the milk. Trust me, he'll hit it with strawberry quick.
Oh.
I mean, how about them Cowboys? How about that D coordinator on a Zoom call? Is there anything more 2020 than a beleaguered defensive coordinator of a terrible D having to stop a Zoom call with reporters because he got Tabasco in his eye?
It's terrible.
You can't make that crap
up.
I'm
sorry.
Baseball injuries. Can't believe that.
Oh.
Looking for a telephone call. Looking for a contribution. Also, if you're joining us late and you missed hour number one, quick preview of some other things I want to hit on. You've got the Bengals, and the Bengals look pretty competitive. That was a hell of a game, actually, against the Browns, right? By the way, the Browns are going to be one of my topics on the NFL on CBS on Sunday. You know they are. They've got to make do without Odell Beckham. Where does that leave them? They've got a couple of young receivers who need to step up. But I'll give you my thoughts on America's team, America's quarterback, America's coach, and where that leaves them. Cincinnati gave them all they could handle. It was a really exciting game. They come out on the losing end, but the future is bright with Cincinnati because they've got their franchise quarterback. We know this already. You can say that already. Not everybody there is hyped. Carlos Dunlap, for one, not hyped. He's been there over a decade. He does not like what he sees. He does not like the way he's being used, and he's not trying to hide it either. I've got takes on that. Something else I want to talk about on the NFL and CBS this weekend, unless it changes. Tua is going to make his first start for the Dolphins, and they made that decision. And keep in mind, the Dolphins made that decision when they're in second place in the division. They're 3-3, and Fitzmagic had been playing lights out. But they're going with Tua, and they're going up against the Rams. And you saw the job that the Rams did defensively last night on Chicago. So that's going to be really interesting to see. I will hit on that. Also, coming up later on in this program, I want to talk some more about Habib and the way he choked out Justin Gaethje. Daniel Cormier says that fight ended the way it did because Khabib wanted to be empathetic, merciful. He was cognizant of the fact that Gaethje's parents were in attendance. Therefore, he didn't want to snap his arm. Because Gaethje had said leading up to that fight, I will not tap. No matter what, I will not tap. So knowing that, he could have ended that fight in the first round, and he could have done so by snapping his arm right off. But according to DC, he didn't do so because he didn't want to have Gaethje's parents see that happen to him. So he did the humane thing. He choked him unconscious. Man, the legend of Khabib continues to grow. Speaking of combat sports, if Khabib is the baddest man in the world right now, pound for pound, who preceded him? Back in the day, it was Mike Tyson. Iron Mike Tyson. Iron Mike is going to fight Iron Roy, apparently.
It's a fight.
I'd rather that not happen. But if it's going to happen, he should have some walk-up music. And he does. D-Rod in the 925 tweets, did you just tell the whole world that you went to camp with Jason Bourne? No, it's just some stoner. Some stoner who had a few years on me, who had nothing better to do than try to mess with me. So he rolled up a $20 bill.
Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
Jesus Christ, it's some stoner at sleepaway camp. I'd say that kid was going to roll up that bill for something else, but he wasn't. He was just another kid. Dear Rome, hot sauce in my eye, hot sauce in my eye, Delonte West. Yeah, Francis, too soon. Too soon. Although Delonte apparently is doing better. Mark Cuban found him and got him some help. It's a sad story, man. I hope Delonte is doing better. Chris No Longer in St. Pete tweets, rolling a $20 bill is a reason to blow. Signed, Dustin Johnson. You know what? I'll allow that. As Dustin Johnson resets go, that's not bad because you're playing off of what I said. I said rolling up a $20 bill and jabbing a kid in the face with it is a reason to go. Add that to the reasons to go. So he said rolling a $20 bill is a reason to blow. I know this. If you toot the Bolivian marching powder once in your life and you're famous, they'll never let you forget it. Keep that in mind. Just like I never forgot the owner of that camp telling that kid, what if it had been a $50 bill? And me thinking at the time, yeah, what if it had been? Like that was some kind of argument that an adult would make to a kid. Way to handle that, camp owner. Except it did make sense at the time. All right, coming up, I still have Alex Anzalone. In fact, I've got that coming up in about 5 minutes. Hey, Rome. Imagine if I got Tabasco in my eye. It would probably just wipe off. Regards, Sandy Duncan. Who sent that? Sammy Davis didn't want any of that. You know who didn't want any of that? No, exactly. Here's the reaction to that. To whatever idiot sent that. Well, that's funny. A fake eye. Fake eye smack. That's really funny. I bet you wouldn't find that so amusing if you were the one with the fake eye. If you had a glass eye. Yeah, that changes things, doesn't it?
He glossed me.
He glossed me? Alvin? Sandy Duncan screaming, they glossed me?
He glossed me.
I don't know, man. People missing appendages and or eyes doesn't strike me as particularly amusing. I'm funny like that in that I don't think that's funny.
Just had some Tabasco on my finger.
I got enough of a problem putting a contact lens in my eye every single day without putting a glass eye in my eye every single day. All right? The only one who would find humor in that is my guy Mike Bisping, because he's unbelievable. Bisping's amazing. He's got a great sense of humor. Nobody else finds that amusing. All right, when we come back, can I have my show back? Is that too much to ask?
Give me back my show,
Melvin.
Give me back my
show.
Give me back my
show.
Give me back
show,
my-
show, show. Dell Technologies advisors listen to your small business needs so they can provide you with the advice on everything you need, from laptops to the cloud, as well as tailored tech solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what is next. Our Dell Technology advisors listen so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today and find the right solutions for your small business. Do so by calling 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, live in Southern California. If you're on hold, hang in there. As promised, we are joined right now by a linebacker for the Saints. He had four tackles. He had a tackle for a loss in Sunday's win over Carolina. On the season, 26 tackles, two tackles for a loss. He was the 76th pick overall in 2017. He is a friend of the program. The Saints are 4-2. They're at Chicago on Sunday. Linebacker Alex Anzalone is my guest. Alex, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Let me start here. You're coming off that win over the Panthers in a game where they had a chance to tie it late, but they missed that 65-yard field goal attempt. I've got to ask, what was going through your head as they lined up for that kick and then as it left Joey Sly's foot?
Yeah, I mean, I think going into the game, we knew he had a big leg and that he was capable of, you know, kicking it that far. Obviously, that would have been a record breaker, which would have been pretty crazy to go in. So, you know, I was more shocked to be if it were to go in than when it missed. I wasn't that surprised. So, you know, just the situation that we were in that we were able to come out on top.
The thing about that kick, Alex, was it would have been from a different location if it were not for a couple of plays. On 2nd and 10 from your 38, the Panthers called for a screen, which you blew up, allowing two teammates to finish it off for a 1 yard loss. What did you see on that play?
Yeah, you know, I think in those situations that. You know, it kind of goes back to my football IQ. I knew they had to get some sort of play, and, you know, it's on film. The drive screen kept showing up, and I knew they were going to run it at some point during the game, and I was able to diagnose it and make a good read on it and slow it down.
Alex Anzalone is joining us. You did just that. And then on 3rd down, Marcus Davenport had an 8-yard sack of Teddy Bridgewater, and that pushed it from a 57-yard field goal to a 65-yard field goal. I mean, it seems pretty self-evident, but I'll ask you anyway, just how big was that play in that moment?
Yeah, it was huge. You know, to get one, to get that momentum, and then, you know, we saw the kick, how close it was. You know, every yard and every inch really matters in that situation with a kicker like that. So, you know, I think that looking back on it, in the moment it was huge, and then looking back on it, it was even bigger.
So, Alex, given how everybody feels about Teddy Bridgewater and how much respect he commands around the league, what was it like to go up against him after he spent time with you guys in New Orleans?
It was fun. Obviously, he's a really good quarterback in this league, and he's a really good competitor. You know, but it brought back some old memories of him being on scout team or during training camp going against him. You know, and he's just a really good dude, and I think everyone around the country sees that, you know, just on social media. And, you know, it was just a fun time, and I'm glad we were able to come out on top.
I was going to say, it's always fun when you win. Alex Anzalone joining us. Then on the other side of the ball, the offense found out that Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders were going to miss the game, and as a result, the coaches were up until 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday changing out the game plan. Then they come out, and they don't punt the entire game. So what's it say about the offense and the coaches that something like that happens and you still find a way to win?
Yeah, you know, the adaptability of that is huge. You know, when you lose two of your best receivers, you know, and Emmanuel later in the week, it wasn't like it was we knew after Wednesday or Thursday practice that he wasn't going to be with us. You know, change the game plan up and then have young guys step up like Marquez Callaway and have a huge game. It's, you know, it just shows the depth of our team and, you know, the adaptability like I referenced.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to say that overcoming obstacles is nothing new this season. As an example, there was that win in Detroit when the team was down 14-0 and missing six starters. You had that 17-point comeback against the Chargers, and you mentioned depth and adaptability. Like, I'm curious, how much of that is about talent and depth, and then how much of that is just about grit and mental toughness?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of it all. You know, you have to have the players to make the plays that you want them to, and then, you know, you have to have the mental toughness to, you know, not let a 14-point deficit or 17-point deficit to phase you and just take it one play at a time and one series at a time and chop away at a lead. Obviously, it's great to, you know, have the lead from the jump, but, you know, when you're in those situations, those really shows, you know, what kind of team you have.
You know, it seems like, Alex, on some level that there's been a season within the season or a couple of seasons within the season. Like, you open up with that win over Tampa Bay, and then you drop games to the Raiders and Packers. And at that point, the team was committing more penalties than they would have liked. So where was the team at mentally and emotionally at that point of the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, Coach does a good job of, you know, having us move to the next game. Obviously, we had to correct some of those things, like the penalties, like you said, and you know, there's still things, even with these wins, that we really need to fix to get to where we want to go. But, you know, Coach does a really good job just moving on to watching the film, throwing it away, putting it away, and moving on to the next game.
Like, when that goes down and you guys are in a streak like that, you made the point, too, we're not used to losing around here. Do guys have to step up and make big speeches and kind of make or point attention to it? Or is that just not necessary and you just focus on the very next game and it's not as big of a thing?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we haven't had that, you know, one moment where, you know, a guy would step up, like a Tim Tebow moment back at Florida. We haven't had that. I think it's just, you know, just part of being a pro, you know, having that mentality and being able to, you know, go out and compete every day.
What about the so-called Tim Tebow moment? Like, this was a different breed of guy, right? A different kind of leader. Like, what was the Tebow moment like, or what was he like in that element?
Tim Tebow, you're talking about?
Yeah.
So he was obviously I wasn't there yet at Florida, but you know, from what I saw and what I've heard around the program, obviously there's, you know, statues of it, of that speech and everything like that, and around the program. He's around the program a lot, you know, and I think what you see in social media is what you get with him.
I was going to say, I should have referenced that. I was talking more about the legend. I know, of course, you weren't there, but just the legend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always there. It's going to always be there. So I was kind of trying to get a sense of that, but I get it. We're talking to Alex Anzalone. You know, every year is different. Every team is different. Six games in, do you have a sense of what the identity of this team is? And if so, how would you describe it?
I think, like you said before, it's kind of we're a gritty group. You know, we're not getting the pretty wins that, you know, that make life easy and make going week to week a little easier. You know, we have things to correct here and there. But, you know, I think we're starting to get our groove a little bit and, you know, hitting our stride when these wins are starting to mean more and more as the season goes on.
All right, so you've got the Bears on Sunday. They're coming off that tough loss to the Rams last night. What are your early thoughts on that matchup, and how do you go about attacking their offense?
Yeah, you know, I think I watched the game last night, and I think they have some playmakers. I think Nick Foles is a great quarterback. Obviously, he knows how to win. You know, running back Montgomery, I've seen him play, you know, for a little bit now in the NFL. He's a great running back, and they have some explosive receivers that can stretch the field, and also they can get the intermediate route. So, you know, it'll be a tough task, and you know, we're up for it every game.
Alex, what about Monday nights? I mean, you're going to play them, so obviously you're going to lock in and watch that game. I'm curious, though, it always seems to me that if you're playing on a Monday night, the thinking must be like, we're the only game, everybody's watching us, including our peers. If you're not playing them this weekend, are you locked in every Monday night? Like, how do you approach Monday nights?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, depending on, you know, what I'm doing, I feel like I catch myself watching Monday Night Football every week, and whether I'm watching super intently, like last night I was watching almost like I'm watching, like I was watching film, you know, with the Bears playing, you know, but you definitely notice, you know, big plays. You definitely notice, you know, wow, this team's looking really good. This team's really clicking. So, yeah, I definitely take notice to it every Monday night.
All right. No way did I have you on the show and not ask you about Sammy the rescue dog. How is Sammy doing?
He's doing well. He's, you know, he's hanging out. That doesn't necessarily like the season because I'm not home a lot, but, you know, he's doing well.
Dude, you ever afraid that he's not going to know who you are when you come back?
Yeah, that's always a big fear.
Always, right? He's a linebacker for the Saints. He's coming off a game where he had four tackles and a tackle for a loss in Sunday's win over Carolina. New Orleans is 4-2, and they are at Chicago on Sunday. Alex Anzalone, my guest. Alex, great to have you on. Appreciate you, and always appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Jim.
Have a great day. Alex Anzalone. Always a quick yes, which I appreciate very much. All right, when we come back, we continue. More NFL. Adrian Amos, a safety for the Packers, joining us. Green Bay with a big bounce back. Coming off a tough loss to Tampa Bay, they look sharp once again. So they had that big bounce back, and Adrian Amos will be my guest. Then we're wide open in hour number three. 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk about what I think should be Mike Tyson's walk-up music when he fights Roy Jones Jr. If they have to go through with that, he has to have the right song, and I think we've got it. That's coming up. Khabib over Gaethje. And there's even more to that fight than we even knew. That's also still ahead. But first, here is...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you're checking out the XR4TI. They're on the other side of the glass. Wake up, dudes. All right, welcome back. We're going back to back with NFL interviews. We're joined right now by a safety for the Green Bay Packers. He is a Pro Bowl alternate. Six tackles, a tackle for a loss, a sack, a quarterback hit, and a fumble recovery in a big game in that win over Houston on the season. 23 tackles, two quarterback hits, a tackle for a loss, and a sack. He's also pledging $1,000 per tackle to the Wisconsin chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Played his college ball at Penn State. Green Bay is 5-1 on the season, and they've got a big one at home against Minnesota on Sunday. Adrian Amos is my guest. Adrian, great to have you back on. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me on.
It's good to have you on. All right, so let me ask you about Sunday's game against Houston first before we move on. The team was coming off that tough loss to Tampa Bay, so I'm curious, what was the mood among the players like throughout the week and in the build-up to facing the Texans?
Really just learn what we did wrong against Tampa and then throw that away. Bury that game and then get moving forward. The move was great during the week. Everybody just focused, locked in, getting back in on our assignments and playing technically sound football. And then, it showed on Sunday when we played.
Right. Adrian Amos is joining us. So in terms of your assignments going to that game, you were talking about how important it was for the defense to be disciplined when going up against Deshaun Watson. When you're in the back end of the defense, how important is it then to plaster more when you're facing him? And then what did you make of the way the team executed on that strategy?
For sure, we had to, cover for longer. You have to cover for longer because, he's probably one of the hardest quarterbacks to tackle, if not the hardest quarterback to tackle in the pocket. He's so strong, and a lot of times he shrugs off, even defensive linemen coming after him. So we just know we had to plaster, cover for that extra second in the back end and then take advantage of opportunities.
And then there were some critical moments. For instance, at the start of the fourth quarter, the Texans had a 3rd and 3 inside your 10. You blew past your blocker. You sacked Watson for a 12-yard loss. What did you see on that play, and how good did it feel to get home like that?
It felt good because they picked up the blitz pretty well. I just had to, try to beat my man. I've been getting after the D lineman about my pass rush skills, so hopefully I have more opportunities to blitz like that. But, that's a big play in a game when we can get, negative plays on third down and force, force field goals when they get in the red zone.
Dude, you got to flash that pass rushing ability when you can. Adrian Amos is joining us, right? So the defense had another stop in the red zone on Houston's next drive, forced a field goal as well. You mentioned that you felt like the team had not been as good or as effective in the red zone as you'd like to be. So what's the key to success in the red zone, and then how happy were you that the guys did execute that way on Sunday?
Those things as far as pass rush being technically sound, the margin for error is slim in the red zone. Because you have to be tight to to receivers, you know, and create small windows, make it hard. And then first and foremost, you have to stop the run. So when we get them into third down situations, I feel like we can get them off quick because those point swings are big. When you can hold them to three instead of seven, you're saving those 4 points, and those can be really big come end of the game.
You know, it's obvious that it's a next man up league, but never more so than this year, given everything that's going on in the world. As a defense, you were missing a number of guys, but the guys who filled in did maintain the standard. They did. So how proud were you of how the entire defense showed up on Sunday?
Oh, for sure. When they come in, we all have the same standard on defense, no matter who's in there. You've been at practice. You've been in the film room. And we're trying to maintain that standard throughout the locker room. When you win, it's it is that next man up, and the next man is expected. It's expected of him the same thing that was of the starter. So when we in there, we try to be a brotherhood on defense, and we got your back. But we also are counting on you to do your job.
All right, so if it's a brotherhood and there's that understanding and there's that expectation and that accountability, for instance, you've got Henry Black. He forced a fumble. Right. You recovered it to officially end Houston's hopes. After the game, you talked about the fact that Black had three plays. He had two tackles. He forced a fumble. Like, how cool is it for you to see him have that kind of an impact when he got that opportunity?
Man, it just gives you an extra boost when you see guys that just, work hard, they're quiet. They come and they do their job each and every day at practice. He's been on practice squad and on scout team all of this time, just waiting for the opportunity and just to see, in circumstances you don't know, never know when that opportunity is going to come, but just to see him take advantage of it this game is, it's just great to see.
Adrian, how key is that for anybody in that league? Like, you, to your point, you never know when that opportunity is going to come, and you know the old adage, and better to stay ready then get ready, but it's not as easy as that, right? It's to doing the work and staying ready for an opportunity that may or may not come, but it's so important in that league. What does that challenge involve? What's that like for guys?
It's very challenging because, it's kind of nerve-wracking because, you've been hoping and praying for that chance, and then when you get out there, you don't want to mess up because you never know if you're going to ever get that opportunity again. Some players in this league don't have the luxury of messing up once or twice. Everybody's not a first rounder that gets, a few years to show what they can do. Some people only get a couple plays to show what they can do. And if they don't impress in those couple plays, then it may never come back around to them. So that's why it's just you see the sideline, you see other players just react a lot differently when a player like that comes in and makes plays because that's their opportunity and that's their shot.
Right. Adrian Amos joining us. So you know how the league is, right? When you're undefeated, everybody's hyping you. You lose one game, then everybody says, these guys are so overrated. Like, you know how the league is. You're 5-1 on the year. You went to the NFC Championship last year, and so you know what it's like to be in that position. How high, then, is the ceiling for this group?
It has to be high. When you get into the season, when you start day one of training camp, you have – the highest of expectations of yourself. You have to. I think everybody in the league, has that or should have that confidence in themselves that they can win it all. So that's what we got to do. But we have to take it one game at a time. Then next week we play the Vikings, and that's what our focus has to be on, is getting prepared and getting ready, taking these practices one step at a time to get to our ultimate goal.
Yeah, speaking of the Vikings, they're coming to your place this weekend. Normally, and that's such a fierce rivalry, normally Lambeau would be incredibly loud for that game. What's it been like to play without that loud crowd support this year?
Man, we're adjusting to it. Our fans are big. You can see it even in these away games when we have limited crowd. Our fans are there. It kind of felt like a home game away from home this week just with our fans crowding the stadium, so we love that our fans travel well. But when we're at home, we have to we have to bring our own juice, and try to find that that fuel within ourselves to get hyped up for the game and to create that the atmosphere for ourselves.
You know, a few weeks back, I thought you had a great tweet. This is kind of off topic, but when the Lakers won the NBA title, you tweeted, quote, "No such thing as an easy ring, though. Too many non-athletes throw that term around. I don't care who you play in modern professional sports. If you win a championship, you won a championship. Nothing easy about it," end quote. I think it's a great point you make. What's your reaction then when you hear folks say that winning a title in the bubble is easier, or you should slap an asterisk on it?
Yeah, I don't like that because, you know, people don't understand how hard it is to win. You know, it like winning is a hard thing. It's much easier to go 0-15 or 0-16 than to go 16-0. It's just it's the amount of work you have to put in. These are the best athletes in the world. You know what I'm saying? The person, you know, in front of you that you're playing against each and every week was, you know, the best player on that team in college or and the best player on that team in high school. And just the top 1% of anything that, you know, of that particular sport in the world. So anytime you win a championship, anytime you win a game, you know, it's something to celebrate.
Adrian Amos is my guest for a few more moments. You know, I mentioned at the top that you are pledging $1,000 to the Wisconsin chapter of the Alzheimer's Association for every tackle you make this season. It's a pledge that you made in honor of your grandmother, Geraldine Thompson, who passed away in June. How would you describe your grandmother, and what kind of an impact did she have on you?
She had a great impact. She instilled a lot of discipline within the family. You know, she had a kind heart. She was very straightforward. You know, she told you like it was 100% of the time. But she was also the woman that everybody came to for everything. Whether you were family or not, she took care of you. She made sure you ate. She made sure you had something to wear. And she always made you feel loved and welcome. So I think, you know, in honoring her, just giving back, and I feel as though that's something that'll make her proud to, you know, just to see me, you know, passing on that giving spirit that she had.
What a great effort by you, and she sounds amazing. I want to ask you this. Your commitment and involvement with the Alzheimer's Association is not new. You and I talked about your work for them last year. For people who have not had a loved one impacted by Alzheimer's, what do you want them to know about its impact, and what kind of a toll did it take on her and on your entire family?
Yeah, it's just, a person that you can see in your family that's so strong that that becomes, you know, basically an infant. They become their mind, you know, starts to deteriorate, and you start to basically go backwards in time, and it just takes a toll on that person and the people that have to care for them. You have to help them eat. You have to help them do simple things as far as tie shoes and wake up in the morning to brush your teeth. So it affects, you know, a lot of families around the world, and I know that a lot of people don't have the help and the resources to deal with those things. So I just think it's important to be patient with people going through the disease, and be sympathetic in a way to the families and that are caring for them, because, you know, they deserve a lot of credit for what they have to put up with on a daily basis, helping a person with the sickness.
I so appreciate your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
One last thing. It's obvious how much respect and how much love you had for your grandmother. You were so well known for your work ethic. How much of that work ethic came from watching her and learning from her?
Oh, for sure. When I was if I slept at my grandma's house, which I did a lot of summers, and, you know, even during the week sometimes, night before school days, I'm always up, you know, even on Saturdays, up in the morning, 6 a.m., well, whenever the light came up. If she was up, I was up, and I had to be doing some type of chores. I had to be outside, you know, raking leaves or cutting grass or, just I've always had to be active, and I had to be working, and I had to be pushing for something.
No doubt about it. He's a safety for the Packers, a Pro Bowl alternate coming off that big game in that win over Houston. Green Bay is hosting Minnesota on Sunday. Safety Adrian Amos, my guest. Adrian, appreciate you. Appreciate your thoughts. And it's always good to have you on the show. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Good to have you back. And we'll do it again soon. Adrian Amos joining us. Appreciate his thoughts a lot, too. All right. So we're setting up for hour number 3. Packer fans, if you want to get into that, anything you just heard, you go right ahead. Let me set you up with your telephone number. It is 1-800-636-8686. Let me set you up with my Twitter feed. It is at Jim Rome. Let me set you up with the all-important functional email address, Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitake.com. Let me set you up with some Hour 3 topics. The Bengals have a lot to be excited about, but not all of them. Not Carlos Dunlap, apparently. This is crazy. He does not like the way he's being used. And that's not unusual. There are a lot of guys in the NFL that do not like the way they're being used. But not many guys have reacted to it the way he has. I've got that for you. Mike Tyson was going to fight Roy Jones. It was not a good idea. And then the fight was postponed, which was a good idea. But now they're going to fight again next month. Not the best idea. But if they're going to fight, then Mike should have the right walk-up music. Lane Kiffin jammed by SEC officials. If you know anything about Lane, you know he's not taking that. And he didn't, and it was awesome. Habib over Gaethje. There's still more notes coming out of that fight, which I want to get to. So I've got all of that. And open phones if you're good enough, but only if you're good enough. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, one more phone number quickly. This is my voicemail number. Get through on this. Get your reps in. Be a part of our podcast. 949. Put it in your phone. It's a direct dial to me. 949-385-0447. If I don't pick up, just leave me a voicemail on any topic at all. 949-385-0447.